As we think about this subject of praise here this morning, we find that throughout the Bible and throughout the Scriptures, it is a commandment from the Lord that everything that is within God's creation is to praise the Lord. That's a command from the Lord. And so we find that declaration and that mandate throughout the Scriptures that everything within God's creation is to praise the Lord. I think about Psalm 148 and those five final Psalms, 145 to 150. Those are all titled Psalms of Praise as it speaks about the subject of praising the Lord. And in Psalm 148, it gives us a list of all of God's creation that is supposed to praise the Lord. And I want you to notice there the verses, verse 1 down to verse number 13. The Bible says there, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. And that word dragons there is not speaking about the mythical character, but it's speaking about serpents. It might also be speaking about sea creatures. It says, praise the Lord, ye dragons and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. I think the psalmist there hit every single corner that he could. He said everything that is created under the sun, everything above the sun, whether it might be the angels and the host of the angels, all of God's creation here on this earth, and every single living person, it is our obligation that we ought to praise the Lord. I think about Psalm 150 here this morning. There's six verses within that psalm, and within those six verses, 13 times it is commanded that we would praise the Lord. And the final verse there in Psalm 150, verse number 6, the Bible reads, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And the Bible teaches us here this morning that as long as we have breath within our lungs, it is our duty and it is our obligation that with the breath that we have, we ought to praise the Lord. I think about John Wesley in 1791. He was lying on his deathbed. He was 88 years old. He was very frail and weak at that point in his life. He was barely able to speak. And in the final moments of his life, his friends and his family had gathered by his bedside. And as they gathered together, he mustered up as much strength as he could. And with some of the final breaths that he would take here on this earth, he lifted up his voice and he began singing a hymn that was written by Isaac Watts. And he sung these words, I will praise my Maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past when life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. And I like the truth there within that song. And the truth is that as children of God here this morning, if you're born again and you're a Christian and you know for certain that you're saved today, then we better get used to praising the Lord in this life. For the Bible teaches that in the life to come, that's going to be our employment. We're going to spend a lot of time praising the Lord and lifting up his name in the presence of God. And the Bible says in Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And so the Bible teaches, a lot of people ask that question, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? What are we going to do for all of eternity in the presence of God? And I don't know exactly what we're going to do every single moment that we're there with the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible does teach us that we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to worship him, and we're going to spend a lot of time praising our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about praising the Lord, God has made us as children of God, as Christians here this morning, that with every breath we ought to praise our Savior. And I want you to notice with me here this morning from this one verse that we find in Hebrews 13, verse number 15, several thoughts on how we can cultivate a heart of praise, how we can cultivate a heart and a spirit of praise here this morning. First of all, notice with me the meaning of praise. And I think we need to understand what it means when the Bible speaks about praising the Lord. In Hebrews 13, 15, the Bible reads there, "Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." In the Old Testament, as we think about the word praise, as we think about the Hebrew, there are three primary words that give us an explanation of praise in nuance. First of all, the word would be yada. That would probably be the most popular word that we find throughout the Old Testament. And that word yada simply means to give thanks or to confess, meaning to acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge His attributes, acknowledge the character and the goodness of God. And so the first word that is used throughout the Old Testament is the word yada. The second word that we find in the Old Testament is the word zamar, and that literally means to sing praise. It means to sing praise and to glorify and to magnify the Lord. And then the final or the third primary Hebrew word that we find in the Old Testament is the word halal. And that's where we get the word in English, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye means halal, and then the Lord is Yah. And so that's where we get the word hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And that word halal there means to honor, or it means to commend. It speaks about laudation that we ought to give to the Lord. And so we find three primary words that explain the word praise in the Old Testament. And then as we come to the New Testament of the Bible, there are two primary Greek words that explain praise as well. And first of all, we think about the word doxa. And the word doxa there means to honor and it means to commend. That's where we get the word in English, a doxology, a praise or a hymn that we would give unto the Lord. It's the word doxa. And then secondly, and this is the word that we find here within Hebrews 13, 15, is the word aeinesis. And that word aeinesis literally means to give thanks. And so throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are different terms of praise, and these different terms of praise give us a collective meaning of what praise is. And so if we were to define praise here this morning, this would be the meaning and the definition of praise. It is an act of expressing. And that's important there, and we'll get to that more later in the message, but it's an act of expressing. It's a verb. It's not simply a thought. It's not simply a sentiment that we have within our hearts, but it's an act of expressing thanksgiving, honor, and laudation to the one who is deserving of these acclamations. And so that would be the collective meaning that we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It involves expression. Oftentimes it involves singing and lifting up our voice to the Lord. It involves an act of expression. And then also it involves a spirit of honor, of reverence, of awe, of fear of the Lord, and a heart of thanksgiving that we would give thanks unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about those words, praising and singing and thanksgiving, they're not synonymous here this morning, but they are closely intertwined together. And almost every single time we look in the Bible and we find praise or we find thanksgiving or we find the words concerning singing unto the Lord, almost every single time it is mentioned together within the context. There's always praising, and with that praising, there's always an expression of that, usually through singing. And then with that singing, there's always the heart behind it or the root behind it. And that's a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of worship and a heart of laudation unto the Lord. In Psalm 18:49, the Bible says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." In Psalm 100, verse number 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." In verse number 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." In Psalm 30, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And so as we think about the biblical meaning of praise that we find in the scriptures, it involves a form of public expression. It involves a form of audible expression most of the times throughout the scriptures, usually singing and lifting up our voice or making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and it stems from a heart of thanksgiving and of reverence and of awe. And so as we think about the meaning of praising the Lord, it's an act. It's a verb. It's an expression that we have, and the root of it is our hearts. And that's why it says there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it doesn't simply speak about lip service, but the Bible says it is the fruit of our lips. And meaning, if there's a fruit, then there's a root to that. Meaning, there's a source to that that's bringing life, and that begins within the heart. And as that grows and as that builds within our life, as our thanksgiving builds for the Lord Jesus Christ, it overwhelms us, it overtakes us, and automatically the fruit of that is our lips singing praises and giving thanks unto the Lord. And so we find here this morning, first of all, the meaning of praise. But then I want you to notice with me as we move on, I find here the manner of praise. Or the method of praise. And I want you to notice a few thoughts concerning how we ought to praise the Lord according to the scriptures here this morning. And first of all, I find here in verse number 15 that the praise that we render unto God, it must be continual. It must be continual. And the Bible says there in verse 15 once again, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It's very interesting here this morning to note that the writer of Hebrews uses the word sacrifice. He calls it the sacrifice of praise. You see, the main message or the main subject of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is better. The main subject of it all is that Jesus Christ is better than the Old Testament rituals of Judaism. Jesus Christ is better. He is a greater high priest than the Aaronic lineage of priesthood. Jesus Christ is better. The subject is Jesus Christ is better. He gives us a greater covenant when we think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also throughout the book of Hebrews, it teaches us that Jesus is better. He is greater in that he is the perfect sacrifice, in that he is the perfect spotless Lamb of God. And so Jesus Christ, being the perfect sacrifice, abolished the rituals of animal and grain sacrifices when he died on the cross, and he made the ultimate and the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, the Bible teaches us now in the New Testament, there are no requirements for us to make sacrifices of animals or grains. And I thank God for that. And I could only imagine what the priests went through in the Old Testament and the people of God coming. And every time they come, they bring a lamb or they bring a goat or they bring a bullock. Could you imagine if that was still required this morning? All of you would have to bring a dove or you'd have to bring a grain offering or something, and I'd have to pull out my machete and here we go, and we're going to sacrifice and we're going to give that to the Lord. But that's what took place in the Old Testament. Those were all a picture. None of that forgave sins, but it was all a picture pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God, which was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, he finished it all. He completed the sacrifices. There's no need for any more sacrifice. He is the ultimate sacrifice, and it is through him that we can have salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And so now in the New Testament, there is no requirement for us to make sacrifices of animals and of grains. Nevertheless, what we must understand here this morning, and the picture that I want us to have within our mind here this morning, is that God still requires or desires for us to sacrifice. Now, he's not calling us to sacrifice an animal. He's not calling us to bring a goat. He's not calling us to bring our flour and our grains. That's not what God is calling us to do. Nevertheless, in the New Testament, God still desires a sacrifice or sacrifices from every single one of us who are the children of God. Now, we must understand that these sacrifices are no longer physical, but the Bible teaches they are spiritual sacrifices that we must continually offer before the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Christ. And one spiritual sacrifice that God desires from each and every one of us here this morning is what we find here in Hebrews 13, 15, and that is the sacrifice of praise. God desires and God requires that we would offer the sacrifice of praise unto Him. And I want you to notice with me in our text that God desires our praise not just once a year. It's not just during a certain season. It's not just during the Thanksgiving time or the Christmas time. Let's praise and worship the Lord. It's not once a week. It's not every single time that we gather at church and we praise the Lord and we worship Him and then throughout the week we completely forget about it. That's not what God desires here this morning, but we find in the scriptures here that God requires that we would offer the sacrifice of praise continually. And that word continually there means through all time. Through every season of life, through every day of our lives, we ought to have the spirit of praising the Lord continually within our lives. If I can go back to the picture here in the Old Testament, as we think about the Jewish people in the Old Testament, there were a lot of different sacrifices that one can offer to the Lord at different times throughout the year when they were necessary and required. There were different feasts, there were different gatherings together. They were required to bring certain types of sacrifices during that time. At the same time, they had some personal times when they would bring a sacrifice, whether that was a sin offering or whether that was some type of a vow that they would make unto the Lord, but they would bring these sacrifices to the temple or to the tabernacle. However, on top of all of those sacrifices that came throughout the year, throughout different individual times by families, there was also a sacrifice or an offering which was called the tamid. And that tamid there speaks about a daily burnt offering that would take place in the tabernacle or the temple every morning and every single evening. We find the commandment of that from the very beginning in the wilderness. When God was given the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, He was teaching Moses and Aaron, these are the sacrifices that I want you to give, and here's one sacrifice. It's going to be a daily burnt offering that you offer to me every single day. In Exodus 29, verse 38, it says, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually." In verse 42 of the same chapter, the Bible reads, "And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." And so we find here a continual daily burnt offering in the morning and the evening. They were to bring a lamb, and they were to offer that in worship and in praise to the Lord. We also find not only was this required outside in the courtyard at the brazen altar, but we also find another burnt offering that was required within the holy place, within the tabernacle. And the Bible speaks about the perpetual burning of incense that was supposed to be offered as a form of worship and praise unto the Lord as well. And in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 through 8, the Bible says, "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." And so this is what I want us to understand as we think about the Old Testament. Whether it was in the wilderness with the tabernacle or whether it was in Jerusalem when they were settled down with the temple there, the Bible teaches that every single day there were other types of offerings that people brought at different occasions and also for personal needs. But every single day in worship and in praise of God, they were to offer the tamid. They were to offer the burnt offering in the morning and the evening. And then they were also to continually have a perpetual burning of incense within the holy place. And so if you ever walk by that tabernacle or if you ever walk by that temple, these priests and the Levites, they weren't just sitting around. They weren't just lounging on their lawn chair and just waiting. Okay, here comes another guy with a goat, and here comes another person with a bullock. No, every day they had a job to do. And every day they were worshiping and praising the Lord, and every day they were sacrificing. And if you think about this tabernacle and temple, the picture that you get is that every single day, continually, there's a burning smoke that is rising up to the Lord. And this burning smoke that rises up to the Lord was an odor of sweet savor that was pleasing to the Lord as He saw the sacrifice and the praise and the worship in the tabernacle and in the temple. And what I want us to understand here this morning, which is so important, is that today we don't have the temple. Today, we don't have the physical tabernacle. Today, we don't have the physical aspects and the furnitures and the fixtures of that temple. But the Bible teaches us that today in the 21st century, there is a spiritual temple, and that spiritual temple is not a building, but that spiritual temple is you and I, if we are believers here this morning, just like the temple had the Shekinah glory of the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us, and God says, you are now the spiritual temple of God. And that's what the Bible teaches us in the letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know we not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And just like the temple in Jerusalem, God desires us to offer continual and regular and daily sacrifices, not of animals or grains, but of praise. And that's the picture of the Christian. And that's the picture of the born-again believer, of the child of God, is that continually in this spiritual temple, there's a sacrifice and a smoke, an odor of sweet savor that is pleasing to the Lord, that's constantly rising from us. And one of those sacrifices is the sacrifice of praise. And we are to continually, regularly, through all times, constantly be praising our God and our Savior. And just as the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing, and we like to preach on that passage, we got to pray and be in the spirit of prayer, and of course we ought to be. And we like to preach on the passage when it comes to rejoice evermore, be always joyful and always think about the promises of God. But just as we find the promise or the command here to pray without ceasing and to rejoice evermore, the Bible also commands us to praise without ceasing. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, constantly, incessantly continue giving praise to the Lord. It ought not to be intermittent. It ought not to be seasonal, but it must be a daily way of life. In Psalm 145, verse 1, the Bible says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And there are several things that most of us do on a daily basis. I would assume here this morning that most of us, if not all of us, we brush our teeth every single day. I believe before you came to church, you probably got up and maybe washed your face and brushed your teeth, maybe took a shower. All of us, most of us on a daily basis, we go to work. We might spend some time on social media or maybe watch a little bit of television. We eat on a daily basis. We sleep on a daily basis. And this morning, I'm not suggesting that it ought to be some type of a routine, just a mundane type of routine that we have within our life. But just as these activities are habitual, and just as these activities are usual that we do, that if we don't take a shower, we remember to do it, we make time to do it. If we didn't brush our teeth, then we take time to do that. And just like those are habits in our everyday life, so must praising the Lord be a habit every single day in our life, that we would continually offer up that sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's what God desires. And that's what God commands from each and every one of us here this morning. He says, you are the temple of God. You have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you if you're saved here this morning. And I want you to continually give sacrifices unto me, just like they did in the Old Testament, not physical, but spiritual sacrifices of praise that you would offer unto the Lord over and over throughout your life. And so we find here it must be continual as we think about the sacrifice of praise, but then also it must be communicated. It must be communicated. And the Bible says in verse number 15 here at the end, it says, that is, and he defines it here about this specific sacrifice. He says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And you see, genuine awe and gratitude that dwells in the heart will inevitably produce an expression of praise and thanksgiving in our lips. And in Psalm 51:15, the Bible says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I think about what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, so then, we are to utter the praises of God, and it is not sufficient to feel adoring emotions. It's not enough to simply have good thoughts. It's not enough to simply have a worshipful heart, but the Bible teaches us here this morning, it ought not to simply be from the mouth without a worshipful heart. But at the same time, the Bible is teaching us here this morning, it ought not to just be worshipful thoughts that you keep within yourself, but if you have those thoughts and you have that heart of thanksgiving, then it must express itself in public. It must be an act of expression that you praise unto the Lord. Once again, I think about Psalm 150, the Psalm of Praise. And throughout those six verses, it teaches us where we ought to praise the Lord. It says we ought to praise the Lord in His sanctuary, in the church, with the church people together. We ought to worship the Lord when it comes to His creation. It teaches us in Psalm 150 why we ought to praise the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy, for His grace upon our lives. It also teaches us who ought to praise the Lord. Every single person who has breath ought to praise the Lord. But then also right in the middle of that chapter, it teaches us how we ought to praise the Lord. How we ought to praise the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 150, verse number 3, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And it is obvious here in Psalm 150 within this chapter there that God is pleased when we praise Him with music. And God is pleased here this morning when we praise Him with joyful singing. And I ask you here this morning, when's the last time that you alone privately, or maybe with your family, or maybe with a few friends, or whatever the situation might have been, but when's the last time that you were outside of church? When it wasn't during the morning worship service or the evening and Sundays, when's the last time that you yourself had a praise worship service with God? When's the last time you were so excited about your salvation and you're so excited about eternity and you're so excited about the grace and the forgiveness of God that you just by yourself, maybe it was in your room or maybe it's in your office or your cubicle or maybe it's just in your car, but you just started singing audibly to the Lord and you started praising the Lord Jesus Christ and you just had a worship service, just you and your Savior. When's the last time that we've done that? And you see, the Bible teaches us here that God is pleased when we sing unto Him. And the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 1, make a joyful noise. And maybe some of you might be thinking here this morning, Pastor Paul, if you've heard me sing, then you know why I don't sing. But let me encourage you here this morning. The Bible simply says, make a joyful noise. That might be a grunt. That might be maybe some screaming or yelling. I don't know what it might be. But the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. In Psalms chapter number 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that word praise there is different from the three that I explained to you earlier. This is a unique time that we find a different word. It's the word tenelah, and it means laudation. Specifically, it's a hymn. Specifically, it's a hymn. A song that glorifies the attributes and the characteristics of God. And the writer of Psalm 34 is David. David, the great warrior. David, the rugged man. David, the king who would become the king later. David, the one that slew Goliath with the slingshot. And David is declaring in Psalm 34, Lord, I will continually sing a hymn. I will constantly have the praises of God on my lips. And let me encourage you here this morning, sing unto the Lord. Let me encourage you here this morning, audibly sing praises unto God in your personal life, at your work life, wherever it might be. Spend time to praise your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that means you got to get a hymn book, or maybe that means you got to download some songs or music sheets. I don't know what it's going to take, but sing unto the Lord from your heart. And it doesn't matter this morning if you're not good at singing. It doesn't matter if you're tone deaf. It doesn't matter how horrible your voice might be as you lift it up to the Lord. God loves to hear you sing. He wants to hear your voice. And singing, as we find in the Bible, is a spiritual thing. Singing is a godly thing that we find throughout the Scriptures. As I read throughout the Scriptures, the Bible shows us that David sang. We know many of the Psalms were written by David. David was a godly man. David was a man's man. David was somebody who had a heart after God's own heart, but also he was a singer. He was one that sang praises continually unto the Lord. I think about Moses, the great leader in the wilderness, and the Bible teaches us that Moses sang songs unto the Lord. In Exodus 15:1, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." I think about Paul in the New Testament. Paul, the great missionary, the statesman, the man that helped with the foundation of the New Testament church in Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I think about Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible teaches as he gathered with his apostles together, one of the final things that he did before he went to the cross was that he gathered together and they sung a hymn. And the Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And as we look throughout the scriptures over and over, those who are growing in the Lord, those who are growing in grace, those who are spiritually mature, we find oftentimes, if not every time, they were people that loved to sing their praises unto the Lord. I think about Ephesians 5, the Bible teaches when we are filled with the Spirit, we will sing. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible teaches when we're filled with God's Word, when we're allowing God's word to dwell within our lives, we will sing. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And the Bible teaches us over and over, as we're walking with the Lord, if our heart is filled with the love for our Savior and we're walking in God's Spirit and we're walking filled with the Word of God, then there's got to be something that overwhelms us within our hearts when it comes to gratitude and just the awe of the character of God, that it will bring about the fruit of our lips singing and praising and giving thanks to the Lord. And could I say this here this morning, if we're not singing, if we're not regularly praising the Lord, if you find it difficult to be motivated or to be moved to sing praises unto the Lord, oftentimes it's not a voice problem. Oftentimes it's not an issue of preference of whether you like the style or not, but oftentimes it's usually a heart problem. For the Bible teaches us that when the heart is right, there's a melody. When the heart is right, there's a song. When the heart is right, it doesn't mean you're singing at the top of your lungs or that you can sing like the best singer in the church, but there's something that comes out. Do you remember when you first fell in love with your spouse? Do you remember when you're so excited about after that first date and maybe after that first time they said, "I love you"? I think most of us probably walked away from there and we didn't know what we were singing, but we were probably whistling something. You know, we're probably saying something. Something was coming out, because when the heart is filled, it is natural that the lips begin to sing. There's a joy that begins to come out of our mouths. And the Bible teaches us when we're filled with God's Spirit, when we're filled with God's Word, there's a song. There's a singing and a praise that we give unto the Lord. Somebody said, "Praise is the soul in a flower. And if your soul is not blossoming this morning, it is an evidence that there is something wrong." I've never met a godly or a spiritual man that hates singing. They just dislike it. I've met a lot of godly and spiritual mature people that are horrible at singing, but I've never met a godly, spiritual, mature person that doesn't enjoy singing when it sings to their Lord, when it sings to their Savior, when they are lifting up the name of their God. And so we find here this morning the meaning of praise, the manner of praise. It must be continual. It must be communicated. And then finally, I want you to notice with me here this morning, I find the motivation of praise, the motivation of praise. And just the two words right there at the beginning of verse number 15, it says, "by him," by him. And the greatest motivation of praise is not a favorable outcome. The greatest motivation of praise is not attaining some goal or position or possession in life. It is not being delivered from the troubles and the trials that we face, but the greatest motivation of praise is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And here, as we think about these two words right at the beginning, by Him, this speaks about the fact that we can properly praise the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, but at the same time, it speaks about the fact that we praise the Lord because of Him, because of who He is, and because of what He has done for us within this life. And could I suggest just a few thoughts here on the motivations of praise as we close this morning? And first of all, we ought to praise the Lord Jesus Christ because of His provisions, because of what He has provided for us within this life. I think about the fact that He provides us life, that He gives us life this morning. In John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, speaking about Jesus, and without Him was not anything that was made or that was made. And we find in the scriptures that Jesus is the creator. He is the one who created us, and He is the one that gives life to every single one of us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible teaches it is also Jesus that sustains us. It is through Him that all things consist. In that verse, the Bible says, and He, Jesus, is before all things, and by Him, through Jesus Christ, all things consist. It is through Jesus Christ that He allows us, that our hearts would beat every single moment of our lives. I've read that on a daily basis, the average person would have a heartbeat 115,200 times. In 1 year, that's 42,048,000 times. By the age of 80, it's approximately 3,363,840,000 times that our heart is beating. And for most of those beats, we're not even thinking about it. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ that allows our heart to beat. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that allows us to live every single moment. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that manages and produces the cells within our bodies. I've read on average there's about 37.2 trillion cells that we have. 210 different types of cells with different functions. 432 billion of them that die and are reproduced every single day in the average adult. It is also Jesus Christ that allows us to breathe. And He's the one that allows our lungs to function. 23,040 breaths a day on average. 8,499,600 breaths a year. By the year 80 years old, 672,768,000 breaths that we would take, not by our own strength and power, but we must always remember that it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's created us. He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that sustains us every single moment of the day. And I think about the declaration that we find in Job chapter 12, verse 10. It says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. That's a gift. That's a gift that God gives to us every single day. And He is the one that provides for our life. He is the one that provides for our strength. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, not through ourselves, not through our self-effort, not through my diligence and my talent and my intellect, but I can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. Could I say also in that same chapter, it teaches us that it is through Jesus, He is the one that provides for all of our needs. It says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by or through Christ Jesus. And so here this morning, we ought to praise the Lord. There ought to be a motivation within our hearts every single day. Why? Because He provides for us. He gives us life. He sustains us every single moment. He's the one that gives us strength, and He's the one that provides for the necessities of this life. But then lastly, as we close, could I encourage each and every one of us, not only should we praise the Lord for His provisions, but then ultimately we ought to praise the Lord for His pardon. For the pardon and the forgiveness that God provides for each and every one of us. In Acts 10:43, the Bible says, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. And that word remission speaks about freedom. That word remission speaks about deliverance and a pardon. And the Bible teaches us it is through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone that we can be free, that we can have the freedom from the bondage of sin, that we can receive a pardon from the judgment of our sins, that we can be delivered from an eternity in a place called hell. And the Bible is very clear that because of our sins and our sinful nature, we deserve to spend eternity under the judgment of God in a place called hell. But the Bible teaches us it is through Jesus that we can find pardon. It is through Jesus Christ that we can be forgiven. It is through Jesus Christ that we can have life and we can be reconciled and have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And thank God here this morning that we don't have to do works to receive the pardon of God. And thank God this morning we're not in the house of God and worshiping the Lord, trying to mark it off of our checkbox and hopefully our good outweighs our bad and hopefully we've somehow appeased the Lord and earned our salvation. Thank God that's not the way that we get saved here this morning. But the Bible teaches us that we receive the remission of sins and the pardon from eternity in a place called hell through faith in one person and one person alone. And that is the person, the God-man, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, that ought to be enough for us to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise continually unto God. That ought to be enough for us. It's not about what we receive in this life. It's not about, did I get that promotion at work? It's not about, is my health doing well? If we're saved and pardoned and forgiven and we have an inheritance with God and we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, then hey, that's enough for us to have a skip in our step and have a clap and a shout and maybe even a little dance on your own. I don't know what it might be, but to praise the Lord and to sing, that ought to be enough. And the Bible teaches us here this morning, it's by Him. It's through Him. It's because of Him, because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And I wonder here this morning, when's the last time you just had a fit? When's the last time you just got excited because you're saved? When's the last time you just sat at home? I don't know, maybe you're doing the dishes, and all of a sudden you just break out, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." And your kids are looking at you like, what in the world got into her or him? You're just getting excited about your salvation. And that's what the Bible teaches. When's the last time you're going to work? You're murmuring and griping about the commute on the 91. When are they going to expand the 15 freeway? And we're complaining about it, and all of a sudden you get hit with the thought, wait a minute, I'm saved. Wait a minute, this world is not my home. I don't live for 70, 80 years. I don't live for the promotion at work. I don't live for the car and the house. I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a mansion and a home that He's preparing for me. And you just got excited about that. And you started praising the Lord. You see, that alone this morning ought to compel us and motivate us and move us to constantly give praise and thanks to the Lord. On August 1944, in the small village of Palelo, in German-occupied France, there was a 15-year-old boy who was lined up before a firing squad in the middle of the town square. Being a young kid, he had no idea why he was being executed that afternoon. He thought perhaps it was because they helped what was called the Marquisards, the French underground freedom fighters. As he stood there, he thought about his young life. He thought about the pain that he would face as the bullets would rip through his body. And he was terrified of dying that afternoon. And as he was getting prepared to take the fire from that firing squad, he began to hear the sound of tanks and exploding mortar just a little ways from the boundary of their town. And it just so happened to be at that very moment, a small unit of U.S. tanks had arrived to the city of Palelo. The Germans were forced to abandon the firing squad, and they turned around to face the American soldiers. And what they found was 20 American GIs who were led by Bob Hamsley, a corporal in Patton's 3rd Army, And they had come to rescue and to free that small town and village of Palelo. After 3 hours of fighting, 50 Nazis were dead, and the other 50 were taken prisoner. 46 years later, after that event in 1990, the town of Palelo decided to honor Bob Hamsley on the very spot where dozens of the town's citizens would have died if it wasn't for him and for their company. And the man who was given the task to find Bob Hamsley was that young 15-year-old boy who stood at the firing squad 46 years ago. And he went out and he tracked down Bob Hamsley, brought him back to that small village of Palelo, and almost half a century later, there were villagers and there were residents all throughout that town that were still overwhelmed with gratefulness. They were still overwhelmed that this man had come to sacrifice his life so that he could save the lives of those within that small village. And after 46 years, the Thanksgiving had not died. After 46 years, they didn't just get cold and well, we just can't find him anymore. But after 46 years, it was still fresh on their mind. We're saved and we're saved and living today because there was a U.S. soldier by the name of Bob Hamsley. And they brought him to that village and they acknowledged him. And that day they honored and praised the man that had saved their lives. And as I was reading that story, I couldn't help but wonder to myself, maybe some of us have been saved for some time. Maybe you trusted Christ 15, 25, maybe a few decades ago, and it's been a while since you've trusted Jesus and you were saved. And I wonder here this morning, do you still get excited about it? I wonder here this morning, are you still giving thanks? Is it still fresh on your mind that Jesus Christ saved your soul and saved my soul, not because we deserve it, not because we did something to earn it, but simply because God loves us and He is a merciful God and a gracious God. And it's not by your and my works of righteousness, but it's by His mercy that Jesus has saved us. And you see here this morning, that ought to be the core motivation of why in this temple of God, there's continually smoke that's rising up. There's continually an offering and a sacrifice that's rising up to my Savior because He died for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm saved this morning. I'm a child of God. God has for me reserved all the blessings and the riches of God that none of us could even imagine or even understand here in this life. That's what awaits you and I if you're born again and you're saved. And if that's your position, then we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to always give thanks. We ought to always honor and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be continual, and then it ought to be communicated. Let me encourage some of you, sing. As you get that heart full of joy, those words will start coming out. Oftentimes, I've done my devotions And I'll go out there, and I've kind of told you before how I do my devotions. I take my Bible, a journal, and a hymn book. That's the three things I take. And I try to sing a little bit, and then I do my devotions, and I write down what the Lord showed me. And sometimes as I'm just reading, just these songs will start to come. And as I'm singing it, I'm thinking, I don't even know what these songs are. And I've never even heard this tune before. And I'm just making up words as it goes. And Lord, thank you for your grace. And I want to run this race and help me to keep my pace. And whatever, I'm just singing to the Lord. And I'm thinking, where in the world is this coming from? And there's just a song that wells up when you're walking with Christ. When you're filled with His word, when you're filled with His spirit, there's a song that continually is on your lips giving thanks unto His name. I encourage you, especially during this season, praise the Lord. Take time to praise and sing unto the Lord. It will change your heart. It will change your life.